I was telling Teresa today my plans for the end of the year and my plans for next year. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that man makes plans and then God directs the heart. We need to be planning. We need to have vision, you know, into next year. I'm looking into 62 and 65 years old. Hallelujah. That's when I'm going to have all my abundance that I've been believing for all these years. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to stop the fight right in the middle of the race. Hallelujah. I'm going to fight the good fight. I like that scripture over there where, how many knows there's a good fight and there's a bad fight? I mean, there's a high road and there's a low road. The Lord spoke it to me. It's the only reason I know it. And the scripture backs it up. He said, I'll set you on a holy highway, a set apart highway, a highway that evil can't cross thereon. Hallelujah. Scripture says it. But put that scripture up there, Beth, when you get time. Hallelujah. I want to show you. But fighting the good fight. There's a good fight and there's a bad fight. A good fight is a fight that you win. Oh, 1 Timothy 6:12, I'm sorry. Oh, there you go. He says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. But notice, he told him, he said, fight the good fight. He called it a good fight. He called the faith walk a good fight. A faith life. Now, you know, I'm just making this example. Some people say, well, you know, concerning, and this is the way they think about faith in every arena. You know, they'll say, well, I'm going to write a faith check and believe God that it'll be there before it's cast. That's not faith. No, that's not faith. I mean, and they do that with their whole life, not just concerning that, you know, because they've really not ever tapped into real faith. Because when you are in real faith, the Bible kind of faith, it's a knowing, a supernatural knowing. Then God might speak and say, do that by faith. Do it by confidence in me, and I will do it. That's the only time faith works, is when you've heard from the Lord on things that don't make sense to the mind. You got to be in faith. But when we're engaged in faith, it is called the good fight of faith. You know, I got in a fight one time. I mean, I'm back under pulling my shirt off. I don't know why we think we got to pull our shirt off. Can't even fight with it on. I mean, it don't make no sense. You got to pull your shirt off, you know. Well, while I was pulling my shirt off, three jumped me. And they broke my nose and broke my ribs and beat me up and got me on the ground. They kicked me around, and the dude that owned the store, you know, got them off of me, threw them out. That was a bad fight. That was not a good fight. I suffered loss from that fight for a long time, like a month or so. My ribs, I think they cracked them, you know. I was just young and everything. And that wasn't a good fight. I still remember how bad that was today. And it's been 39 years or longer. You know, and that loss is still with me today. I thought many times, I thought, are you stupid, man? Why don't you just leave your shirt on and you could have took two of them down and jumped on the other? You know, that was dumb. Well, that's kind of how it is not to be in faith today. It's a losing fight. I mean, you're gonna lose. I'm not talking to the world. See, we've been called out into a war. We're warriors. We're called ambassadors. We're called soldiers in the army of God. It don't make no difference if you in ministry or you ain't in ministry. We're called out. The Bible says that we're the church. We're called out and called together. And there's a purpose in that. You know? And the Bible says that we will minister to one another. We'll each one, you know, give to one another. Not necessarily finances, it can be or whatever, see. But people that are in faith, people that are engaged in faith, they're in the fight. And they're laying hold. He's saying, you got to fight to lay hold. If you don't fight, you will not lay hold. You can wish, and I mean, a lot of Christians has this sense of, I'm waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. And, you know, and I'm waiting on him to heal me. I'm waiting on him to pour finances in, you know, or whatever the case might be. And that's really not in the fight of faith. The fight of faith is laying hold of the word. He said he'd supply all of our needs. I'm not waiting on him. If he said he'd supply it, then he's got it supplied already. Right? He ain't waiting on me and us to lay there and say, well, I don't know how God's going to do it. He'll come up with it somehow. No, he's waiting on us to fight and lay hold. And so from that time, even in the natural, I stopped pulling my shirt off if I was going to get in a fight. I just left it on. I think later on I thought if they get a hold of your shirt, they got more of a chance holding on to you or something. I don't know. I'm cussing. But I learned from that one, and I've learned in this faith fight. I have failed. I have made shipwreck. I have not sought the Lord and not stay engaged and suffer loss of the kingdom. And you know, back yonder, I used to think, well, I don't really know why God's not showing up. I don't understand why God's not showing up. It's not that God's not showing up. He told Abraham a long time before the promised child come. He told him a long time, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He was talking about Jesus. He was talking about his descendants. But you know what? Y'all know the story, if you've been in the Bible any time at all, that Sarah couldn't have kids. She was 90, he was 100. But the Bible said that he endured. He stayed in faith. Many today say, well, you know, I'm just going to quit that. I'm going to quit that stuff. I tried being a Christian and, you know, and it just didn't work for me. You know, no, you didn't let it work. It works. There's too much evidence. The Bible even tells us that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Lay aside the sin and the weight that does beset us from that cloud that did it. That cloud means a bunch of people went through, served God, you know, went after God, obeyed the Lord, and I mean they subdued kingdoms. They shut the mouths of lions. They killed bears. Elijah killed 1,000 with a jawbone of a donkey. See, these guys were engaged in faith. They were engaged in faith. That is how come my whole Christian life, and I'm not saying that braggingly or boasting, I read the scripture where it says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some are, and I have been willing to quit jobs and will quit it today if it gets in the way of that scripture being fulfilled in my life. And because I do that, anybody that does it, they are engaged in the good fight. Why? Because Jesus said, he that hears my words and does them, it's he that his house is built on the rock. But he that hears this Bible and don't do it, he is like a man that built his house on the sand. When the storms come, when all this happens, he said, the great will be the fall. You know why? Because they're not engaged in the word. They're not engaged in faith. And faith don't mean that bad. I mean, just like the storm come through yesterday, took my whole barn, gone. Poor brother Scott. I'm building back better. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work to. I'm not going to get out of the fight of the dream that I have a completion in that project because I ain't got where I'm going. I know where I'm going, so I'm going to know when I get there. See, people, well, nobody knows the truth. I got God. I've got faith. I mean, glory to God. God can give me 100 barns if I just won't quit in the battle. Your car blows up and it has to sit up there and you make payments. You said you would. Fight the good fight. Don't let it go back. Just don't do it. Just believe God for every peeling you need to peel back that debt until that he watches that. God watches that. And that is that mature. They're maturing. They're maturing. The Bible says, 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may develop, that you may grow, that you may advance, that you may lay hold. Lay hold of what? My healing. I'm not going to quit fighting because my body says something. And you can't go around with your mouth contrary to the word and think and believe that you are in the faith of God. You can't speak the way it is and the way you feel and believe at the same time you're in the faith of God and that God, and that the things are going to happen to your good. That's good to have hope, but you need to move on into hope and faith. We are in it. There's a bad fight. The winning fight, the Lord spoke to me back yonder when, I preach this thing with boldness, you know, and I try my best to live it with boldness. I live out the passion of the word. I really do try to. I'm not perfected in it. But back when I didn't feel how I feel now, that no quit fight, is that all you got, devil? I'm there. Come on, devil. Well, devil took your barn down. No, it was a win. It didn't have nothing to do with the devil. That devil can't take my stuff. He can't take my barn down. That natural thing come through. We're in a cursed world, right? The Bible says the earth groans and travails, waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting on us to rise up in this earth like we are, on up into the things of God. Well, I confess all the time, praise God, you know, my house, I own my house, not me and Wells Fargo. Well, you know what? I've got the money right now to pay my house off. I told Teresa yesterday, I said, by the end of the year. Now, when my barn went down, I thought my barn went down. I thought, nah. Got up there, my barn's down on the ground. You know, all of it. And you know what? For the first time that I can really say that I've realized that that did not move me, that was one time that did not move me. That didn't make me sad. It didn't make me depressed. I just paid $1,000 on the part me and you got started on in Travis. I just paid last week $1,000 for two guys to go and put the roof on it. Now, anybody want to give me an offering? If you feel, don't feel sorry for me, pay me. I'm just kidding. I got the money to build it back, Johnny. Cash if I want it. I'm going to build it back. Why I'm saying that is because when you're engaged in faith, it motivates you to plow through whatever comes your way, bless God, till you see the victory in what you're believing God for. And that's how come we got to have some endurance. That's why coming to church regular is important. That's you building endurance. That's you building yourself up. And the little thing, this is a little thing. Going to church is a small one. When you get kids, another battle. They're going to have snotty nose, get them healed, put some teaching tapes on. Travis did. He got sick at school one time. Teresa goes in there and gets Kenneth Copeland on healing. But God, I think he's about 89 years old. I don't know if throws him a couple of aspirin, puts him in the bed. He wants to go out. He ain't going outside today. You're not going out today and playing. She plays healing tapes, preaching all day long. That boy got healed that day and went back to school. See, we were determined, we're in this good fight, and sickness and disease is like cussing to us. It's like robbing us. It's like stealing from us. It's trying to take God's will from us. And but God, we come against it. And but God, we got him healed. He got healed. I didn't like for him to have to stay home. Mama had to stay home. Well, we need to go to church. So Monday, if you're attacked, get on it. Anointing, fast, pray, whatever you got. Fight the good fight. That's fighting the good fight. That's not laying down and saying, well, maybe he'll be well by Wednesday night. If I was Monday, he has to fight to come to church on Wednesday. The boy gets up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and goes and runs all day long. I mean, he has to fight. I'm thinking, thank you, Lord Jesus, it ain't me. I sleep till 6. That ain't my battle, that's his. But now my battle is when the food has to come and the church tires up and things around here, I have to lay jobs down and all of that stuff and rearrange and put more prayer. My battle's a little different than his battle, but it's still a battle. He'll have one. The men's meeting Saturday. His battles will be there. He's going to battle. I wish more people had come. Why ain't they coming? Don't get into all that. I done been through it and won it for you. We don't care. We just don't care. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be, Johnny, he's, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here. Well, something might come. There ain't nothing going to get in my way Saturday. The only thing get in my way is me choosing not to make plans to be in that meeting. It is a meeting. It is an anointed meeting. And all of y'all out there in Facebook land, you need your healing, get in that meeting. It's a men's meeting. No, it's God's meeting. There's an anointing on that meeting. We're learning things. We're learning how we what kind of kingdom men we are. We're learning how to walk in and fight this good fight of faith through the anointing, not through because of Monty, but Monty's yielding in the office that God's called him in, and there's an anointing on that office that is going to work. If he endures, he can quit any time. I won't let you. I just don't believe in starting something here and quitting. Well, I'll quit. No, you won't. I'll come after you. No, Monty, you ain't quitting. We done had too many to quit that church, and you ain't going to be one of them, sweetheart. If I have to put you on salary and believe God to pay your bills, you're coming. I need to be bolder than I am. Really? I think people slide through the crack. Well, who do you think you are? Make me go to church? No, God's making you. I'm just trying to help you. I'm your pastor. God said, forsake not. That's not if you will feel like going or not. That is forsake not the assembling of yourself together. And when you engage in that, you enter into the fight of faith and you will lay hold of the power to do whatever gets in your way to get that fulfilled. Having a good marriage. I'm going to bring it over to the marriage. Having a good marriage. If you're broke financially tonight, then you need to tithe Sunday. If you're broke in La La Land out there wishing you had money to pay your bills, fine. Where you're supposed to be in church, take 10% off of the top of what you make and take it into the house of God, and God will bless the obedience of the word. You will be laying hold because of your faith of Malachi 3 and Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall he cause men to give to your bosom? Shall men give to your bosom? He won't cause it. It says men will give to your bosom. If you need money to buy your medicine because you're having to pay so much every month and it's just really not enough, well, then take you an offering to the God that you say you serve and get in faith and put you a $5 or whatever offering in the offering plate and say, God, you said that you would supply all of my... I'm telling you how to engage. So that you can get the money for your medicine. I went in the grocery store and one time with a calculator. Y'all know the story. And I'm thinking, we're not supposed to be broke. I mean, the Bible is full of the promises. We're not supposed to be broke. And so I told Teresa, I said, not many days hence, baby. I said, you won't have to carry a calculator. Now I'm speaking by faith. I'm engaging based on what that Bible says. And then I went to the house, helped her unload what little bit of groceries we got. Couldn't get what I wanted. I can't even get no Cheez-Its. I like Cheez-Its, the original Cheez-Its. And so she gets out, and I get out there in my yard. See, me and God don't need a church to get things together in faith. We just need me and him. I've been preaching about being in agreement with him, right? He's already settled in his mind that you are blessed. Going in, blessed. You are the head, not the tail. That's his thoughts. That's his heart. that you're the healed of God, that you don't have to suffer with sickness and disease. Well, my body, and it runs in my family. See, you're not in agreement with the Word. I don't care what it says. I mean, the doctors told me one time, well, Mr. Weston, it runs in your family. And I said, no, not now, it don't. He said, what's that? I said, I got a new family. What'd you do to yours? I said, I got saved, man. I got new blood now. I've got new DNA now and all of that stuff, you know. I found it at church. Somebody say church. Bradley preaching one time, he said, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, which I knew that. He said, now you've got to identify with that new man, on the inside now. You're not that same person. You've got to start to identify with the one that's came on the inside of you. And the more you read that Bible, the more you will understand the one that's came on the inside of you. That the more attention you pay and give into the carnal things of this life right here, the more that you will get to know the Holy Spirit and the one that came on the inside of you. I believe and am convinced on the inside, based on the Word and the experience I've had with the Holy Spirit, that there is nothing impossible with God. Nothing. Somebody say fight. There you go, Christopher. See, without a fight, there won't be no winning. This kingdom is that way. John the Baptist says since John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violent, but the violent what? Take it. They take it by force. How's that? They fight. They get engaged. They tell the devil, is that all you've got? See, I don't blame the devil on taking the barn down. I ain't got enough money at the end of the week because I spent it all week. The devil's trying to rob me. That's stupid. If I got $100 and I need money at the end of the week, don't get me a bag of loaf bread and some bologna. Right? Because it cost me $24 for me and Travis to eat every meal just about it. Well, how much is that? If I eat two meals a day, that's $50 a day, right? $50 a day times five is how much? That's $250. So if I fix me some sound, I don't like them sound. I don't like the rye bread Teresa's got, but by God, I'm going to eat that chewy stuff. It's good for me, Johnny. Rye bread, I don't know what. Multigrain. It is multigrain. Fibered together. Take like a chew of carpet. Especially if it's 2 or 3 days old, you know. It makes a mater taste bad. Tomato. I'm a tomato eater. Y'all know that. I bring everybody tomatoes. I think everybody ought to grow tomatoes. That way I can quit growing them and get baskets every week from y'all. Make some acidy tomatoes. But you know what? I got my faith on it. I told Teresa today, I said, by the end of this year. Now it's going to take God, but by the end of this year, I said, we're not going to owe nothing to nobody. I said, and the bills we're paying now, $1,000 a month on my house, I've been paying for nearly 15 years. Bleed it in, month after month. I was behind one time, whenever the 2008 and now, when that happened, praise God. And I made up my mind, black God, I'm not the tail. I'm the head, and I lend and not borrow. And I made up my mind to stay engaged. I let down, Johnny. I got to looking at things in the world. You can do it today. The economy, the gas, and we all drive, we know. Stop driving as much. I need to quit go checking my cows at two times a day and check them once. Or go check, Teresa told me, she said, they can have them babies without you, you know. Them cows. So at that time when she said that, I thought, well, she's right. So I started going to her every other day for a little while, you know, go just check the cows every other day. See, there's nothing wrong with us being good stewards. Travis one time has his tithe money, Dayton Beth. And they go out, and that's all he's got, Johnny. Tied a little bit of money over. And they can't even eat out. They're dating. And she said, there's some money right there in the ashtray, if I'm telling it right. They said, oh, no, we can't buy it with that. That's my tithe money. That's my tithe money. They go in the grocery store, and they get them a bag of loaf bread and bologna, wasn't it? Ham and cheese. That was their date, Johnny. He ain't going to spend God's tithe. Just not going to do it. So he goes in there. They ain't going out to eat. See, this sounds dumb in this generation we live in, but that's the way it used to be. When people thought right, when people were engaged in the Lord, hallelujah. I've had God to give me money before me. I think, woohoo, glory to God. And the Lord say, don't eat your seed. He'd say, don't eat that. Don't use that. That I gave you seed. Scripture says that he gives seed to the sower. See, when we're engaged in faith, we will hear the Holy Spirit more. We will get to know the Lord more and more. He told them in the Old Testament, he said, as you grow on to know the Lord. But we got to fight the good fight of faith. Give me that. Give me the next one, Beth. I don't even know what I got now. God is, Hebrews 6, yeah. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Listen to me. God sees everything you sacrifice for him. You understand me? When you fight to go to church and your body don't feel good and you go, he said, God's not unrighteous to forget it. When you give and you really ain't got the money to give, but you know God wants you to give and you know God wants you to tithe, he said, I'm not unrighteous. I will not forget the work and labor of love which you showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to saints and do minister, and we do desire to every one of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto them. He said, that you be not slothful. See, we can't be slack concerning this stuff. We can't be slack. I mean, you give a little bit to this flesh. I mean, that's how come, I mean, it took me 2 years to obey God calling off Sunday night. I wanted to. I mean, my flesh wanted to. It was a lot of pressure on me. Did it for year after year after year. And God spoke to me one day, and he said, I want you to cut off Sunday night. I stood up, and I said, I bind you, devil, right now in the name of Jesus. If you bother me again trying to get me to quit Sunday night, sir, I'll start a Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. You better leave me alone without church. Well, went on against the Lord. How many ever been kind of waking the Lord how hard things kind of get? They go to get a little rough. You know, you don't feel as good. You don't feel strong. And you're easier to get oppressed and depressed. And when you ain't got enough money, it really, really bothers you a lot worse than it used to when you was abiding in the vine. Because we're the branches. Well, that's the way it started getting. Started getting where I couldn't get a sermon together for nothing. I mean, I'm like, God, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? And then all of a sudden, he just spoke to me. He said, I told you to quit. You're doing it on your own. I've been doing it on my own for nearly 2 years on Sunday night. And when I did it, it was like the floodgates of heaven. When I made my mind up, it was like the. But what I'm saying, why I brought that up is, I don't like to start backing up in my integrity, because if this flesh ever gets started, he'll want every service slack and, you know. I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, remind me again why I'm doing that food ministry. Ah, brother, it ain't nothing to go get that food you tried. You'll find out. You'll have trials. I drove that box truck. Y'all didn't go in it. I went in it. I started out on a 16-foot trailer and dedicated my heart to the Lord that he wanted this food ministry going on right here. And I dedicated my heart to the Lord, and I drove all the way to Anniston. I put my job off, and I sat all day long in lines over there in the heat and the rain and the griping and the lying between Christians over there trying to get more food and all that. They sat out here in the heat out here and bagged out noodles. Got them in big boxes. noodles. And I'm on my way back, and I'm like, glory to God, we got some noodles. Woo, we got some noodles, Lord. We got a plenty of noodles. I seen people gripe about the noodles, and we didn't get them on. I seen them gripe about the chicken, and he cut the chicken off. We had not got none since. I seen it. But I've told the Lord, hey, Lord, remind me again, Lord, because there's always problems. There's problems in my work. There's problems. It causes problems at church. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, I want my little children working together in love. And I thought, oh, God, you've got a job here. Half of us couldn't get along 10 minutes. And now look at us. Whatever y'all want. Whatever, just whatever. I'm here. Just let me know. I'll be right there. I could call on you. I could tell y'all, hey, man, reckon y'all guys that are the men meeting. I'm going up yonder. And I guarantee you, most of you'd show up. You'd show up, start moving tin and all that stuff. I had somebody up there, didn't even know it, 6 o'clock this morning, cleaning it up, fixing where my cows can't get out. I didn't even know nothing about it until 9 o'clock. Called me up, Men Teresa's in Birmingham. See, he's faithful to send your help. But I'm engaged in faith, glory to God, hallelujah. You're engaged in faith, hallelujah. But he said here, he said that we should not be slothful, but followers. If I see you faithful to church, faithful to tithe, faithful to talk about God, faithful not to let down when things ain't going your way, I'm following you. I'm going to pattern myself. I'm going to say, how do you do it? How do you do that? And then you're going to come back and say, well, you know, I just stand on the word. That's all you got. I just stand on the word, and I ain't going to be moved off of it. That's what they're going to tell me. I'm going to say, well, bless God, I'm gearing up with you. I'm geared up with you. See, you can't help nobody that don't want help. I can't help you. I can't fight for you. You can't fight for me. You can pray till you're blue in the face and your tongue's hanging out and you are dry. Oh, God, just touch Scotty. Just touch him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But you know what? In order for God to touch me, I can't be by the Bethesda pool and saying there's nobody, Lord, to put me in. Ain't nobody showing up to help me with my finances. Ain't nobody cares that I'm going through and having it hard at my house. Ain't nobody. You know what? All he had to do was crawl over there and fall in the pool when it was moving. The angel was moving it. Crawl, baby. He's listening. I think them kids ain't listening. Look at that. He getting that word. He likes it too. But he says, follow, be not slow, but follow after those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, these people on this planet right now, and you know, I've listened to a lot of and hooked into their ministries for years. Keith Moore Life Ministries, one of them. Kenneth Copeland Ministries. People can talk down on them all they want to, but what are they doing for Jesus? How many people are they winning to Jesus? How many hundreds of thousands of free letters and stuff, word that they're sending? Moore Life Ministries, he's got a word supply. You can go on there and download and eat till you're so full of the word of God till you're just going to pop. It don't cost you a dime. Free. It's free. Hallelujah. You know, I'm patterning after them. He's still had a Friday night, I guess. He's believing for land out there, and I'm in the middle of my battle and thought I'm going to lose my house and everything. See, you can't. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, if I'd have given up, I would have lost it all. I'm 100% positive of that. I started listening to him on Friday night, and he's talking about money. Friday night offering. And most people, yeah, all they talk about is money. Well, don't worry about them. Just hear the word. Take it for yourself. Get engaged. Engage. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. And I didn't have no money to send him. But I'm hooking up on Friday night. Getting that word in. Teresa's hooking us up, downloading. We putting it in our ears. laying in the bed going to sleep. She's got one earplug and I've got an earplug. My mind ain't going to sit there and tell me that Satan's trying to get me to disengage in faith and get in agreement with the way it feels and looks. I thought, well, I could live at the fellowship hall. Lucky God, we'll go down there and put us a bathtub in there or something. And I thought, cast that out too. I'm going to live in my house. I'm going to pay for this. In the name of Jesus. Week after week, month. But you can't feed on what you're thinking and how you feel. And all. While we look not at the thing, you can't feed on that and stay engaged in faith. The good fight. You won't stay engaged. You can't look because, I mean, I went through a season to where I never made enough, Sandy. It was never enough. It was never enough. Just never enough. It was just enough to pay what bills wouldn't, the lights wouldn't get cut off. Teresa had to pray and say, God, which bill do I pay this week, Lord? And the Lord told her which the most necessary. We lived that way for a long time. Preaching right here. This stuff that people says that I'm a fanatic. Well, Brother Scotty, this fat cat Scotty got all that money. No, I got a bank full of faith, sweetheart. I've got a hold to that. I'm a hold to that that apprehended me down yonder 20-something years ago, bless God. And I choose to go after him. I choose to go after his word. I choose to meditate on his word. I choose to take and grow and develop. I have to a certain place, but I'm going to grow on up. Satan don't like me at all and don't like you at all, but you know what? I don't care. And if people want to yield to Satan, they want to hate. Jesus said, know that if they hate you, they hated me first. So we've got to stay engaged. Give me the other, Beth. Hebrews 5, I think it is. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, warn them. Warn them in that church. Don't be dull of hearing. Don't sit there, hell, I don't know that. I've been in church all. You're dull now. You're getting dull. See, this word is alive, the Bible says. Hebrews 4:12 said it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any. And God said, my word won't return void, but it'll go do what I send it out to do. There, he said, they're dull. He said, and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when the time you ought, every one of y'all that's been here over 2 or 3 years ought to be teaching. At home. What does that say? I tell Johnny, start us off. Start ready to start us. You come in the door. Hey, Johnny, you ready to start us off? Yes, sir. I'm always ready. Went through there and I shook Amanda's hand. I said, he's in training. She said, he's doing a good job. I said, he sure is. He going on her honeymoon, whatever it was, vacation. Called me up. He said, hey, Pastor, reckon I could have all Saturday? I'm like, you ain't hired by me, man. But he was talking about the food giveaway. They're wanting to get him a weekend giveaway and all of that stuff. And I didn't see it, get a text. Well, we won't be there. Sorry, man. We need time off. You understand how it is, you know. I didn't get that garbage. I got a phone call or a text, whichever one. It seemed like a phone call. I said, man. I said, the Lord always sends plenty of help. You know, man, y'all go on, enjoy yourself and, you know, whatever. And I really meant it, you know. And I got off the phone and I thought, man, I feel good, Lord. I really felt good about that, Lord. I would almost pay for his vacation doing that to me. I mean, you don't know how that made me feel. I mean, that really made me feel good. Because I thought, he cares. He hates to, and he says, well, I mean, I hate to. I forgot the words you said. I hate not to be there. Makes me feel bad not to be there. For us. For the people. And I said, oh, no, man. I said, it's all good. Every one of us is going to that place. Every one of us is going. We're engaged in faith. I mean, we got grace, man. Our money comes. Our healing comes. Our marriage is straightened out. I mean, and we do come to the place that we're like ducks on a pond, man. They go under that water, come up, and the water don't even get to them, man. I mean, they are geared for the elements. And that's the way the word does. But we can get dull of hearing. I mean, I've been in this thing a long time. I've been a Bible student for 28 years. But God, and I don't think, I know that. I went up one time, I was messing with Teresa. I told her, I said, I don't have to read all the time. I already know the Bible. She looked down at me. She said, you are getting deceived is what you are. You're deceived right now. And she goes back to the house, poof, shut the door. I thought, man, I was just kidding, man. So I went in. I said, look, man, I said, I was just kidding, man. I know I don't know all the word, but I can quote it. You know, I mean, I can quote a lot of the word, tell you where it's at and all that. That ain't because I'm a pastor. That was before I became a pastor. God woke me up at 2 o'clock and he said, meditate on this right here. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. He told me meditate on that to where I'd know it before I went back to sleep. And I had to go to work at 5 o'clock. And I'm like, God, don't you know it's 2 o'clock? He don't sleep. He's God. I mean, he don't sleep. The Bible says he don't sleep or slumber. He's light. He's God. You know, and I imagine he's just sitting there. I'm going to wake him up. I'm going to change his life. He'll get up. That was up to me. I could have went back to bed, but I didn't. I got up, went in there, blessed God, and I mean, that's the best thing ever done in my life with that, obeying the Lord in that one. I read that, and it become a revelation to me. Though I walk in this flesh body, I don't war according to the flesh, for the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, and it makes me able to cast down the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against that Bible and pull it down into obedience to the Word of God. That changed my life. And boy, when I got a hold of that, everywhere I went, that's my sermon. That's all I really knew. I'm preaching that, boy. I went to my, Brad called me up and he said, Brother Scotty, could you preach Wednesday night? I thought, yes. I said, yes. And that's all I had, 2 Corinthians 10. Boy, and I mean, I preached that thing. I milked it dry, I think I did. I did the best I could do anyways. And a preacher come up to me and he said, that's my sermon. I said, no, that ain't your sermon. I said, God, give me that sermon. No, that's my sermon. I had that sermon before you got it. I said, well, you ain't getting it. I said, the Lord, give me that. I said, did you tell me what it was? No. I said, where'd I get it? I don't know, but that's my sermon. Well, you can have it. Just go preach it. It don't belong to neither one of us. That's God's sermon. Everywhere I went, doors opened up, I preached that. Oh, glory to God. You don't walk in, you don't war according to your flesh. You don't war according to finances and fight no more. Your warfare is not natural, it's supernatural. And then I took the word of God over there in Ephesians. I got me a sword of the Spirit. Woo, hallelujah. I got the power to cast down and tell that devil I'm not listening to you no more. And I got the word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth shall God, man live. Jesus quoted that. In Matthew, I believe it was, over 4 or something, when he led up. He was quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. And I saw that one time and I thought, man, Jesus was using the word of God on that sucker. Jesus was using the word. He was God in the flesh, but he was using that word. And the Lord said, yeah, you're just like him if you'll use it. You're just like him. He says, for when you have time, you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, the very little things of the word of God. He said, and are become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone, here's the key to being able to get whole and go deeper in faith and grace and all that. This is the key. He said, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. Somebody say unskillful in the word. In other words, you know what it says, but you don't use it. I could have a hammer in my truck and hunt something to drive staples all day long. And ain't nothing going to drive them like the hammer. I can go out there and get that hammer, and bless God, you can drive those staples and those wires and make it all neat and good. That's just a small example of the word. The Bible says I'm blessed going in, but when it comes and it don't look like I am, pull that word out. Some unexpected bill comes up, or you think, boy, it's one thing after another, pull it out. He said that strong meat belongs to those. Go ahead, give me the rest of it. But strong meat belongs to them, that's us. Somebody say, that's me. That are of full age. You're growing up. You grew up. You're even those by whose reason of use have their senses that by reason of what? Use. He said up there that milk belongs to y'all babies that ought to be teachers. But now you need to be taught again. He said milk belongs to them. He said, but strong meat belongs to those. The deeper things of God belongs to them that exercise their senses. Exercise. Use the word. Skillful in the word of God. Hallelujah. When they said, well, you know, you can't afford the tithe. They don't even tell me that no more. You idiot, I'm doubling it this week. Had this thought one time, well, I cut the phone off and there were no cell phones back in. Man, I came in when cell phones began. There were no cell phones, and I had this thought, what if Travis gets sick, you know, at work, and while I'm at work, and she can't call me. And I told that devil, I said, listen, devil, the phone will be off next week, and the Lord can tell me if she needs me. And I promise you, they cut my phone off, and I tithe. I was determined. Here you go. I'm just a baby, but I'm whipping. And then I'm in there because I'm engaged in faith. And they put on the telethon, the preaching 24/7. Travis got stirred up in our living room one. Well, he'd never heard a cuss word, I don't guess, in my house till he got on up. Teenage years, probably. But God, I was determined. My son, this world ain't going to teach him this junk that I learned. If he learns it, it'll be when he gets out. He can learn it himself. But anyways, it's on, and the presence of the Lord is so strong in there before I got home, he starts running around the coffee table and shouting. 24/7 preaching going on. And all right, it was because, and I come in, man, and I'd be like, whoo, yeah. And they'd be in there, and this one guy, he says, hey, man, he says, you need to prophesy to your wallet. He said, you need to confess that your wallet is full. I'm in my boxers, man. And I mean, I got so stirred up, but God, I mean, and the reason why, because I was doing my very best to exercise what I knew of the Word of God, and I'm a baby, and when I come in and sit down, He gives me stronger stuff. I mean, it's like deeper things were coming to me, and I'm like, I've run out of the house in my underwear with my wallet up. You're full. And I'll run around the house, praise God. I mean, I run around and I thought, it's not many days from now, Lord, you're going to bring me to a place to where I want nothing but God because I'm going after you. The Bible says that He will not withhold one good thing from those that go after it, walk upright, that go after it. Give me that Matthew or Mark, whatever it is, the two foundations. He answered, said, is written, man, oh, this is Jesus. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Make a quality decision in your life. If the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, you're healed, then when something comes that's contrary to that, do not run to nothing but the word first. Go to the word first. Go to the word first. I say it every morning because something's attacked me and I'm sick at my stomach up to about 10 or 11 o'clock every day. Every day for now. And I get up every morning and I'll go in there and I'll say, thank you, Lord. I am the healed of God. This is trying to get me to say I'm sick, Lord, but I am the healed of God. and I command you to loose me. I thank you, Lord, that my stomach is lining up to what I say in the name of Jesus. And you know what? It's almost gone. There's nothing wrong with going to doctor. I don't care. I'm not anti-doctor. If you ain't got no faith, you better go to the doctor because you're going to die. But if you're going to go to the doctor, go in faith. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you will give them accurate pinpoint stuff, Lord. They'll see things, Lord, that they can't see by themselves, whether they're lost or not. Thank you, Lord. They will have the anointing on them to pinpoint what it is, Lord. And if that's the route you want to fix it with, then so be it, Lord. Be in faith. Be engaged in the fight of faith. I told Travis the other day when they run all the scan, they told them, they said, well, he's had more heart attacks than one. I know when they was. I'm down in my God. I've been standing on Faith Hill for all of these years, and bless God, I'm not going to disengage now. I don't care what's going on in my body. But I would kneel down in my garden because I'm going to have a garden. I got a vision of eating maters and bringing y'all tomatoes and bringing y'all okra. Y'all don't know what kind of joy I get out of giving. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Hallelujah. And so I do some of it for y'all. And I really enjoy it. And I don't lack in produce. My cupboards are full. My tomato jars are full. I had one of the best tomato gardens this year than I've had in 10 years. And I don't think I did nothing different. Why? I've been sowing it all these years. So, Galatians 6 said, be not deceived. Here comes that word, right? I stand on the word. Be not deceived, God. I know you're not mocked. Whatever I sow, God, I'm going to reap. And I'm going to make sure I'm sowing faith. I'm going to make sure I'm sowing integrity and endurance, because that's what I'm going to reap in the time that I need. I need you to show up. See, faith and patience work together. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. But endurance is built. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. He learned how to be obedient through the things he went through. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. God, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. In other words, he didn't want to go to that whipping post. He didn't want to be hung on that cross. He didn't want to go through and endure the things that he knew that was going to take place in his life. But he yielded his will to God's will. And you know what? The Bible says there was legions of angels waiting at his command. They didn't kill Jesus. He gave his life up for us. Jesus, the Bible says, if they had have known, they would not have killed the Lord of glory. They went to get him one time, and he disappeared and come up somewhere else. They couldn't do nothing to him unless he did it. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew it. He told him. But what I'm saying here, we must stay engaged in faith. Give me the last one, Beth. We got to close. We got 9 minutes. Some of us got to get up early. There so whosoever heareth these sayings of mine does what? Got to do something with them. That's what he said over there in Hebrews. He said strong meat, stronger things, deeper revelation, deeper grace. All it belongs to them that uses the word. They exercise it. They exercise their senses. They know good from evil. He said, whosoever these sayings of mine and doeth, I will liken to him a man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Go ahead, Beth. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. See, these are two parables of two foundations that he's talking about men. You know, those that hears the word, they do it. Y'all young folk, you ought to be tithing. I mean, Travis, I started off 3 or 4 years old with him. He knew about tithing 3 or 4 years old. He knew about it. He knew how to do it. He knew how to save money. We made him save 10%, tithe 10%, save 20% or 50%, and spend 30%. 30 to 30. We taught him that as a young boy, 6, 7 years old, praise God. Y'all young kids and teenagers, you need to be tithing. You need to be laying up a good foundation for the time to come. See, this is not about God needs our money. God uses it in this kingdom to win souls and spread the gospel, because we live in this currency-driven world. We got to have money to do whatever we do. God knows it. But God uses the currency that we yield to him and multiplies it and makes it go and do and gives us a good life in the process, praise God. So I want to encourage you, if you're not going to fight for your healing, for church, for finances, new car, a good life, whatever, if you're not willing to fight, you might as well not engage, because you won't win. You got to lay hold. And the key to staying engaged in faith is feed on the word. Feed on it. Meditate on it. You know, you can't meditate on all that stuff and stay engaged. And y'all girls, young guys, you ought to be fasting and telling the Lord, I might not be interested in a boyfriend right now or a girlfriend, Lord, but when they do come into my life and I want them to be godly. I want them to love me for me because they love you. And I want to be what they need in you. This ain't taught in the churches like it ought to be. I'm not down in churches. I ain't heard it much. Well, when they get age accountability, what's that? I mean, you hear it. Well, they're not really to age accountability. Aiden knows very well if you go in there and mess up something, you're going to get a spanking. He's accountable. Right? He's 4. Don't play in the toilet. Go to the toilet. Well, he's not age accountability. Yeah, that means he just stirred around in the toilet. That's nasty. Right? Aiden, don't get in our toilet. Why? Because he's been told, you better not get in that toilet. Well, he's the age accountability. So we don't put a limit 15. 15, 16 is a little late. I mean, need to be starting down there early to where they're used to serving God, used to going after God. So I want to encourage you, stay engaged. Stay engaged in the fight, in your finances, in your health, life. Life in general, praise God. I'm believing for promotions on my job. And you know what? They're coming. They're coming, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you, and we thank you, Father. We thank